I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome into Susie Larson Live, everybody. I'm Than Bennett, sitting in for Susie for one more day here. Susie's going to be back with us next week. And I've got to tell you, it has been such a joy to spend time with you each day. I want to thank you for joining in our conversations. It's been so fun to sit in for Susie and bring you conversations every single day that inspire us in our faith walk, that deepen our understanding of God's Word, and that heighten our awareness of His very real presence in our life. We've been aiming every conversation this week sort of broadly at a theme of investing in eternal things. And we've been especially talking about God's Word. We've been talking about the people and the souls around us. And we've been talking about the work that He's given each of us to set our hands to. And I am so thrilled today to have as our special guest for the hour someone who really does exemplify these ideas so well, someone who does it on a grand stage, under the bright lights, and yet does it with grace and poise. That special guest is Shannon Bream, and she's going to be talking with us about her amazing new book. It's called The Mothers and Daughters of the Bible Speak, Lessons on Faith from 9 Biblical Families. I'm holding a copy in my hands right now. Beautiful hardback. And I noticed right before we came on the air, I'm going to have to ask her about this. I noticed that it is a New York Times bestseller, just came out on March 29th. So congratulations to Shannon on that. I'm excited to see it. In addition to talking about the book, I'm going to ask her about the rigors of TV journalism, and she's going to share some insights on how to stay steady in turbulent times. So I'll give Shannon a more proper introduction in just a couple of moments here, and then we'll get her on the show. First, I do have a couple of announcements for you. First off, we here at Faith Radio have partnered with Feed My Starving Children for the month of April. And for every Team 40 gift, now a Team 40 gift is either a $40 a month contribution or it's a one-time gift of $480. For every Team 40 gift, a generous donor is going to sponsor 40 meals for those who are being impacted by the war in Ukraine. So you can give at myfaithradio.com or by texting the word give to 877-933-2484. Again, myfaithradio.com or text give to 877-933-2484. Also, one more reminder for this week. I still do have a few slots left open in that 6-month tailored coaching course that's going to walk through how to really transform your life in a way that maximizes your impact for a kingdom culture right there in your community. So I'm not going to take any more than 12 people. I want to keep it nice and small, nice and intimate. But we're going to have monthly virtual coaching sessions for 6 months. And then everyone that participates will also get some one-on-one coaching. So if you really want to dig in and learn how to maximize your impact for a kingdom culture, I'd really love it if you would join us. You can get all of the information on that at tailoredcoach.com. That's tailoredcoach.com. So check that out. Okay, let's get to our guest. I am so excited to have Shannon Bream with us today. Shannon probably needs no introduction from most of you, but she deserves one anyway. So I'm going to give it to you. Shannon Bream currently serves as the anchor of the Fox News Channel's Fox News at Night with Shannon Bream. It airs from 12 a.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, so for all you night owls out there. She joined the network in 2007 as a Washington, D.C.-based correspondent covering the Supreme Court. And just side note here, this is actually where my work has the most overlap with Shannon. So that's sort of where I got to know her a little bit. And in addition to her role as anchor, Shannon is a chief legal correspondent for the network, and she's the host of Living the Bream, a podcast on Fox News Radio, where she shares inspirational stories, personal anecdotes, and an insider's perspective on actions and rulings from the high court. Shannon is the author of several books, Finding the Bright Side, and The Women of the Bible Speak. And today we're going to be talking about that new book, The Mothers and Daughters of the Bible Speak, Lessons on Faith from 9 Biblical Families. Side note here, folks, we have 5 copies of this book to give away. Again, beautiful hardback edition. If you want in on that drawing, text book to 877-933-2484. 2484. Again, text book to 877-933-2484. Thank you to Shannon for her generosity for that giveaway. Finally, Shannon resides in Virginia with her husband and their beloved dog, Biscuit. And most importantly, Shannon loves the Lord deeply. She's been so devoted to using her platform to bring fame to his great name, continually writing about his word. That's so encouraging to me. So Shannon, welcome to Suzy Larson Live.
Dan, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
We're so thrilled to have you. So thrilled that you'd take this time to be with us, and so glad you've written this book. Look, there's a lot I want to get to with you, and we're going to spend a lot of time on your book as we go along here. But I also want to talk about how your life's path sort of mirrors my wife's path in many ways. So we're going to get to all of that. But you've been on with Suzy before. You know that we start every broadcast with Scripture. I know you love God's word, and it's evidenced by the fact that you continue to write about it. I just applaud you for that. Thank you so much for that. But I'd love for you to start just by sharing what God's been speaking to you through his word in recent days. What's been standing out to you as you've spent time with him?
You know, I've been going through this book, Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund, that I think is fantastic. And, you know, just about how Christ expresses himself and what he is, what he means to us, how he views us. I think a lot of us can feel like when we get off track and we mess up or we're struggling with a particular sin or mistake in our life, it's easy to feel like, gosh, God must be so sick of me coming back to him with this, you know, thing that I'm struggling with. But I'm reading through this book and it's all very scripture based and points you back to the words where, you know, Christ describes himself as gentle and lowly. And the fact that he views us with enormous love and very much like a father who, of course, would never turn away from their child because of a mistake they made or disease they had. If we look at sin as the disease of sin, but his heart really is filled with compassion for us and that he is working to redeem us always and always wants us to come back to him in our failures and when we need repentance and forgiveness. And that book has just been such a beautiful gift to me. It was recommended so many times, and I had ordered it, and it's in my pile of books because I always have a pile of books. But I finally fished it out, and it's just been such an encouraging book to me.
I love that, Shannon. I love that you find time to read. That book's actually in my stack of books to read as well. I haven't gotten it read yet, but, you know, gentle and lowly, it's just, it's so counter to our culture, too. Our culture tells us that we've got to be louder than everybody else, and I that's just not the model that Jesus modeled for us, so I appreciate that so much. You know, I know you've been on with Suzy before, Shannon, so her listeners have been introduced to you, and probably most of us know you from your journalism career. I know you best from having covered the Supreme Court for so long. That overlaps with the work that I do. But I'd love it if you would just take a minute and sort of reintroduce yourself and maybe share how God brought you to this place in your career. I'm especially interested in this aspect. You kind of have a unique blend of law and journalism. Obviously, you have formal legal training. You went to Florida State Law School, but did you always plan to sort of blend those fields together, or how did God lead you to that place where you're kind of in that overlap of worlds?
Yeah, I really had no master plan. And sometimes I'll have, you know, younger people or our college associates come to me and say like, okay, I want to follow this path. I'm going to go to law school. And I'm like, listen, everything was very much God's plan and God's leading, that there were a lot of detours along the way, and I'm just grateful for where he's led me to and the season where I'm at Fox and doing something I love so much. But I did start out, I was a business major at Liberty University, went to law school because my dad only half-jokingly said, you're going to law school or med school, so pick one. And I don't want to hear about any guys or any marriage or anybody you're in love with until you get through one of those. So I had toyed with the idea of journalism only because I am a current events and news junkie to the core and always have been that way. But my dad really didn't think it was a real job. He sort of thought it was sort of showbiz and TV. So I went to law school, which I did have a great interest in that. I'm fascinated with how law and politics and all these things work in our society. But I practiced for a few years and did not love it. And I kept saying to myself, give it another year. This is a fantastic career. You've got this great education. And I just finally was so unsettled and feeling like this is not what God, I don't believe this is what he cut me out to do and or the passion that he's given me. And I spent about a year, my husband and I, really praying about it, seeking wise counsel, trying to talk to people in the news business before I decided I would go do an internship at the local ABC station where I was practicing law in Tampa, Florida. And I was grandma intern. That was my nickname because everybody else was like 18, 19, 20. And I was about to hit 30, but I did get my midlife crisis over with then. And it was a really, you know, humbling kind of, but I loved it. I, you know, would go in there and work overnights and weekends and go out with anybody who would let me tag along or shadow them. And the, you know, the quick version is that I ultimately left my firm and took an overnight job there, 2 a.m. to 11 a.m., making coffee and answering phones and just learning the business. And I finally had a boss there who said, we're going to send you out once in a while and let you do some reports. And I started learning that part of the business. And then he left. There was a big management change. His boss left. And the new guy came in and pulled me into the office and said, you're really the worst person I've ever seen on TV. And you'll never make it in this business. You are terrible. And I don't know why anyone thought this was a good idea. And it was a really humiliating, tough speech to hear. And I cried privately in one of the soundproof edit bays. But there were months that followed that of just kind of this wandering in the wilderness feeling of not being able to get anyone to look at my resume or my reel or be interested at all in talking to me. But I learned a lot through that process about, you know, really digging in, getting better, really being serious about studying this craft and this art, and just being willing to go wherever God sent me. And so I went through a couple of different markets from Tampa to Charlotte to Washington, D.C. and local news, and eventually had a meeting, which he didn't plan, but I had planned because I knew Brit Hume was going to be somewhere. And I went there and made my pitch to him. And even that was kind of circuitous, but eventually he found out I was a lawyer and said, gosh, I need someone to cover the Supreme Court. And that was my path to where I am now.
I love it how God guides our steps, Shannon. We had John Jessup from CBN News on earlier in the week, and he shared a similar story that someone told him he would never make it in that industry, and 20 years later, here he is. I also would just say to your dad, I've seen you on the steps of the Supreme Court distilling a decision and then getting it out. I tell you, that's a real job, I assure you. Hey, listen, we're going to go to a break here in just a moment, but on the other side of the break, I actually want to ask you about covering the Supreme Court and then maybe some of your early practice, and then I want to dig into this fantastic book, The Mothers and Daughters of the Bible Speak. My guest is Shannon Bream. She's the author. It's a New York Times bestseller. You can pick it up wherever books are sold. And you could also win a free copy thanks to Shannon's generosity. If you want in on that drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll have more on the other side of this break with Shannon Bream. Welcome back to Susie Larson Live. I'm Than Bennett coming to you from Washington, D.C., sitting in for Susie today. Susie's going to be back with us. We're going to be so glad to have her back next week. But meanwhile, having a great conversation with Shannon Bream. She's the anchor of Fox News Channel's Fox News at Night. She's also the author of a brand new New York Times bestseller. It's called The Mothers and Daughters of the Bible Speak, Lessons on Faith from 9 Biblical Families. It's available wherever books are sold, and you can also win a copy directly from Shannon if you will text the word book to 877-933-2484. You will get in on that drawing. Hopefully, you will win one of them. If you do not, I strongly encourage you to pick a copy up, and we're going to dig into the content of that here in just a moment. But Shannon, before we did that, I want to ask you a couple more questions about your background here. First, I want to ask you about the craziness. And I do mean the craziness that ensues on the steps of the Supreme Court when a big ruling comes out. I know this was maybe a little bit different than what you're doing right now, although I've seen you do some reporting from the Supreme Court lately. But I'm thinking of like the Affordable Care Act case or, you know, any abortion case, any number of others. And, you know, COVID has changed this some, right? But at least in normal times, when a big opinion comes out, you're going to be there at the court covering it. And I want you to talk to me about what happens because you get that opinion, you have literally a matter of minutes to try to distill it. Maybe not even that. You can let us know how long you have. And then you've got to get right on air and disseminate a very complex legal opinion to your viewers. Walk us through what that's like. What does that feel like and how do you do it?
Yeah, listen, the last year, everything has changed. We can now, the hard pass press holder. So that's the press corps over there that has the credentials. We can go in and listen to arguments now. But in the old days, pre-COVID is the old days, we would literally stand outside the office where they give out paper copies of the opinions just as they're being announced and being handed out. And then you run as fast as you can, although they're yelling at you in the building, no running, no running. But you're trying to speed walk as quickly as you can out of there without your feet leaving the ground. To get outside and run to those cameras. And in the process, you're trying to look through that opinion and see if you can decipher what's happened. It's definitely an adrenaline moment of your heart pounding in your ears and trying to keep your heart rate down as you speed walk out to the cameras and try to decipher this thing and get it on air. You want to be first, but you want to be accurate more importantly. It's different now because what happens is they release the opinions online. So it's super convenient, but basically you're clicking refresh, 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 like if you've ever been waiting for anything online. And that's how you parse through the opinions now. So I do hope that, as everybody does, that things will go back to normal with the way that we used to do things. But for now, it's a different experience, only that I can be sitting in my home studio instead of running down the steps of the Supreme Court with the opinion, deciphering it, and trying to get it on the air as quickly as possible.
Yeah, it's probably better in many ways that way. But, you know, you do it so well. And I know there's always still a pressure to be first. So there's an intensity with that process, I'm sure. But one more question about your professional background, and then we're going to get to this book here. But I admit that one of the reasons I'm curious about this is because so much of your early life tracks so closely with my wife Brooke's early life. Both of you made it to Miss America. Congratulations on that. I know. A few years for her too. We won't say an exact number, but I was going to say I know firsthand how hard that is. I guess I know secondhand how hard that is, how much goes into it. But then you both went into advocacy for victims of abuse. My wife worked in the anti-trafficking world, working to track down perpetrators of trafficking and also rehabilitating victims. But you worked in private practice, and you alluded to this, but assisting victims of sexual harassment. And I guess I'm really interested to know how that work laid a foundation for what you do now. How does it inform what you do? And are you able to draw on those early experiences in the work that you do now?
Yeah, and actually, I was working in a corporate setting, so I would try to avoid these cases coming to fruition by going in and training in the workplace men and women about the law, about, you know, the standards in these modern times for how you relate to each other as employees and treat each other with respect. And I heard some crazy stories and cases that I was involved with over the years. And I just realized that, and as a woman, I mean, I've had my own experiences with this in the workplace and in other settings where, you know, it's tough because people would say, well, speak up for yourself or quit that job and go to a different job. It's never as simple as that, especially if you're trying to move up in a particular law firm or company or school or wherever you work. Women and men can be subject to this, too. You really have to weigh, all right, how far do I push back on this person, potentially at the expense of my job or my ability to advance here? And where do I draw that line? And it's a lot tougher for people than I think it looks on paper or it looks on an episode of, you know, Law and Order or something like that. It's always much more complex than that, and human relationships are involved. And you really have to weigh how much you're willing to speak up, knowing what it will cost you. So I think it definitely opened my eyes quite a bit as a young lawyer coming right out of school about the reality that people are facing in their workplaces and other places. That it's never as simple or as easy as we would like it to be. There are very difficult decisions to be made, and a lot of competing, conflicting emotions and just so many things about where you set your standards and where you draw your line.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to ask you about this is something I've really learned from Brooke a lot, of just how important it is to be aware of those around you who are vulnerable. I mean, it's just over the years together, she is so much more keenly aware of that than I am naturally. And I think, honestly, Shannon, I think it's something that all of us have a duty to cultivate, to be aware of those who are vulnerable around us so we can step in when needed. So I love that you have that background, and I love that you have that awareness now. Okay, let's dig into this book a little bit. This is a fantastic book, The Mothers and Daughters of the Bible Speak, Lessons on Faith from 9 Biblical Families. And again, just a reminder, we have a stack of them to give away here. So text the word book to 877-933 2484 if you want in on this drawing. But Shannon, I just appreciate so much how you continue to write about the scripture. You continue to use your platform to elevate God's word. But this is a brand new book. I think the release date was March 29th. And I guess maybe just start with this. Tell us what motivated you to write this book. What's sort of the top line message that you're trying to reach readers with?
End of the day, I hope it is going to draw people closer to God and to see his goodness and his faithfulness. Whether they are people of faith or not, I hope it will prompt them to, you know, journey down that path. But if they're already a believer, that they'll be encouraged, that they'll be reminded, as I was in researching and writing these books, just about that when life is messy or imperfect or painful or there are periods of waiting, I mean, God is not unaware of any of that. And there's purpose in it. I truly believe. I've seen that in my own life, and I've seen it in the lives of these women in the Bible and in these books. The initial idea was Fox came to me a couple years ago and said, "We're thinking about starting an experiment with a book label, and we know your faith is very important to you. Would you be interested in helping us come up with a book that would appeal to women and religion and the Bible?" And I was like, "Absolutely!" Felt like such a gift to fall into my lap. And I was privileged and honored to start the research and get this together. And we collaborated on with the publisher, okay, which women are in or out. And, you know, I made arguments for people that I thought were important to include, even if their stories were difficult or unpopular. I mean, I love that in my first book, I paired Queen Esther, and many people will know her story of bravery in the face of risking her own life to end up saving the Jewish people. But also I wanted to pair her with Rahab, who was an innkeeper, also believed to be a prostitute. But she was also in the right place at the right time that God put her there to be, I don't want to say a savior, but a facilitator to a big victory for the nation of Israel. So I just think that there are so many interesting women all throughout the Old and New Testaments, flawed, thank goodness, because all of us are. And I think we can take great encouragement in that and looking that, you know, if it was only unflawed people, Jesus would be the only person in the Bible. So right. I'm glad to remind people that God works through our messes and bad decisions when we come back and commit our lives to him.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said yes to that challenge. I certainly love the book. And you're right, we're all disqualified if being flawed means that we can't be used by God. So grateful for that. Shannon, we've only got maybe a minute and a half before we need to go to our break here. But I wanted to read to you a text that came in on our listener line. This is David from North Dakota. He says, "Shannon is awesome. Can she please run for president?" So I guess my question for you, is that in your future? Are you going to run for president?
Listen, the Lord would have to come to me, like send Gabriel, the angel, and be like, "Shannon Bream, you are supposed to run for president." Short of that, I would have to say no, not in my plans. But thank you that thinking for even a moment that I would be capable of doing that kind of job.
I would echo David's thoughts. I think you'd be up for the job. But I also, I'm in agreement with you, Shannon. It doesn't sound like a job that is that appealing
to me. It's like the hardest job in the world.
It's so thankless. I don't really think that you can probably win at the end of the day from doing it. But, you know, we do need good people to serve. So I'm with you, David. I appreciate that. Hey, listen, after the break, I want to dig into more of these stories, Shannon. So many of them to get here to. We're talking to Shannon Bream. She's the author of a brand new book, The Mothers and Daughters of the Bible Speak, Lessons on Faith from 9 Biblical Families. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484 to try to win a copy. And after the break, we're going to talk about delays. We're going to talk about persecution. We're also going to talk about God doing a new thing, all from Shannon Bream's new book. We'll be back after this on Suzy Larson Live. Welcome back to Suzy Larson Live. I'm Than Bennett, filling in for Suzy this week. So grateful to have you with us. My guest today is Shannon Bream. She's the author of a brand new New York Times best-selling book. It's called The Mothers and Daughters of the Bible Speak, Lessons on Faith from 9 Biblical Families. We're giving away a stack of copies today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. If you're not one of the lucky winners, I definitely recommend you pick it up. My copy here is got dog tagged all the way through. So Shannon, great stuff. And I want to talk about some specifics in the book here. You actually open the book with the verse Isaiah 43:19, which says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I love, Shannon, that you use that verse to sort of set the stage for these nine stories, because in each of them, at least this is sort of the theme that I took away, and I want your take on this, but I think we see God breaking some conventional rules, right? I see him breaking some cultural norms to accomplish his mission, maybe not the mission that these women initially set out to accomplish, but his mission. And time again, he does that in these stories. And to me, one of my takeaways is that he wants to do those new things in us too. What do you say?
I totally agree. The thing that I found in writing both of these, my two most recent books, including the new one, Mothers and Daughters of the Bible Speak, is that the struggles of women and of men over these centuries ago are very much present today. I mean, whether you're talking about widowhood or infertility, financial struggles, physical struggles, dysfunctional families, my goodness, the Bible is full of those. I think that there are all those kinds of things that we can take comfort in reading those stories, seeing the struggles that went on there, and realizing that God can work through those. And as you said, this verse about him doing new things, I mean, he can make all things new, and that includes our messes, our detours, our mistakes. He blesses faithfulness, as we see through his word. But again, he is working through every situation. And I think when we look around, the world can seem so overwhelmed with evil and with pain and with just people tearing each other apart, literally and figuratively. And to know that God will eventually overcome all of that. He has a plan. He has a purpose, the charting of history. And we know that good ultimately triumphs over evil. I want people to be encouraged by that message, because it's so easy right now to be consumed by the flood of bad news, whether it's, you know, halfway around the world or personally in our own lives. It's been a rough couple of years, but God is a place of refuge and of peace and of contentment, regardless of circumstances. And we see that all throughout the Bible.
Yeah, I love it so much. I want to follow up on that, actually, because you talk about detours, Shannon. I mean, you get into this a little bit deeper in the book. You actually talk about trials. You tell a story in the book about a travel delay that really threw your schedule out of whack. And I'll let you decide whether or not you want to share that story or whether you want readers to discover it on this. It's totally up to you. But you wrote this in that portion. You wrote, "What looks like a delay in getting to the good stuff is an inescapable, necessary leg of the trip." And I just can't tell you how true I've found that to be in my life. The hard times, the detours, the trials, the delays, those haven't been just things to get past. Those have been some of the most valuable building blocks in my life. And in these nine stories that you tell, this is a common theme, isn't it? They all had these portions of the story where they had to be wondering what in the world God was up to. So talk to us a little bit maybe about those trials and the value that these nine stories found in those trials.
Yeah, and I do tell on myself in the opening of the book, because if you've had a bad travel day, and of course I'm trying to get into an event where I'm going to speak to women at a church event that night, and man, it was everything you could think of, from delayed flights to canceled flights to rerouted to lost luggage to no rental car, though you showed up with a confirmation. I mean, it was just one enemy attack after the other, and I was so angry and flustered by the time I got there. And I tell about how I had to go to a Walgreens and basically just buy dry shampoo and a ponytail holder and some, you know, tinted moisturizer and just get it together and get up on that stage. And man, by the time that I got there and heard these other women's stories, it really reset everything for me to see that there is purpose in the aggravations and the journeys that are much deeper and much more painful than just a travel delay or a day full of them. These women were incredible. They had gone through nightmares, and they were coming out the other side and just walking through it with God and his presence and his purpose. And yeah, that's all through these stories, woven all through. I think about one of the groupings I talk about in the book, the new one, is about Elizabeth and Mary, who were cousins. And if you know the story, Elizabeth first became pregnant with John the Baptist miraculously, because she was way past the age that she would have been having a child, through natural means. And of course, on the other end of the spectrum, you have young Mary, this teenager, who I'm sure at times had to be frightened because she had not been with a man, she was not married yet, and yet she found herself with a pregnancy too. And I think about how God put them together in this period, and that, you know, Gabriel, when he's telling Mary about her divine pregnancy that's going to come about, he says, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant. And I don't think that's a throwaway line. I think he was saying, like, you guys will be able to walk through this together. And they had that relationship. I think God provides us people to walk through our valleys with us together, and the importance of mentorship and spiritually being there for each other as parent and child, even if you're not bound by blood ties or traditional family ties. I think God's purpose is woven all through things. And if Elizabeth had had a baby decades before, when she was earnestly praying and so desperately wanting a child, it wouldn't have been God's perfect timing and plan for John the Baptist to come when he did in the way that he did, as that, you know, precursor to Jesus. And so the fact that Elizabeth and Mary walked through that together and were kind of given to each other for that time, I think is a beautiful example of God's timing and God's purpose.
I'm so glad you brought up the story of Elizabeth and Mary, and especially the appearance of Gabriel, because that that made an impact on me. And it was a small moment in the book, but you talked about how Zechariah heard from God through Gabriel, and it marked the end of a period of 400 years where no one had heard directly from God. And that gave me hope, because we can feel like God's been silent in our lives, but you shared that Zechariah's name means the Lord has remembered, and I love that portion. So I really highlight that portion to people to check it out. But Shannon, I want to ask you about the chapter about Jochebed and Miriam. You make what I think is a very relevant point for our times, especially we see what's happening on the other side of the world. You write this: there is something very hopeful about the fact that the Hebrew people continued to thrive despite near constant persecution. We often see that when God's people are in the crucible of suffering, they grow in deeper commitment and often in number. Shannon, you and I both sort of work in this space. In reality, all of us as Jesus followers do. We work in this space of trying to expand freedom so that people can find Jesus, right? And it's noble work. I think it's just work. But this passage in the book reminded me that freedom is not a prerequisite for following Jesus. And when we look around the world at the places where following Jesus is literally a crime, so often, Shannon, that's actually where we find his church is growing, where it's thriving, and where it's alive. So say just a word, if you would, about sort of that, I guess I would describe it maybe a strange, hopeful reality that pressure and persecution, a lot of times, Shannon, those are things that actually strengthen our walk with God.
Yeah, that's absolutely been the truth in my own life. I would love to think that when I'm on the mountaintop and everything is just clicking along and organized and everyone's peaceful and it's great, that I will have extra time and just grow in the Lord. But the truth is, the times that I felt nearest to his presence and my deepest connection and maturing in him has been in that crucible that you mentioned, has been in the very worst, darkest moments and periods of my life. And I mean, I'm constantly amazed and inspired by these sort of underground churches through oppressive regimes, and hearing snippets and you know, anecdotes from people about what's really going on and how they pray for the church in America, because they worry that we are so untethered from our faith because we have so much freedom. We're not forced to rely on God as much as they are, and certainly not in the way that they are. And I think it's a phenomenon that is proven over and over and again. So I think we can see it around the world, but I know I've seen it in my own life too.
Yeah, as we work to maximize freedom, I just am reminded to stand in the gap for those who experience less of it and choose to follow Jesus anyway at great cost. So I love that. Shannon, let's talk for a little bit about moms out there and speak to moms out there. Mother's Day is about a month away now, so perfect timing on this book. It'd be a great Mother's Day gift, hint, hint, to everybody out there. But let's speak to moms, because obviously you think very highly of this office called Motherhood. This whole book really draws that out. I share that sentiment. I'm actually, after I get off with you here, I'm going to the airport to pick up my mom for a visit. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, it's going to be great. But motherhood's a priceless thing, but it does involve struggle. It involves heartbreak. It involves uncertainty. And you write this in the book. You write, how many mamas out there have burned the midnight oil interceding for a child who's gone astray? I guess I would ask, what encouragement would you give to that mom listening out there who's at that point right now? She's worried. She's praying about a child who seems far away. What are the stories that you wrote about in this book? What do they say to that mom?
Well, to Jochebed's point, I think about the fact that, listen, she had this amazing opportunity. She risked her life to give Moses life. she got to raise him for probably 2 or 3 years before she sent him off to be raised in a palace by Pharaoh, because that's what Pharaoh's daughter wanted when she had discovered him as a baby in the Nile River. And, you know, he goes through his tribulations, ends up killing someone, and goes on the run. And I think about Jochebed, she knew from the time the Bible tells us that when she saw him at his birth, she knew there was something special or different, maybe a spiritual destiny about him. But I think, gosh, she probably prayed for years, for decades. I don't know that, you know, the Bible tells us that she ever saw what came to fruition, in that Moses eventually, after much prodding from God and after much complaining and dragging his feet, when God himself showed up to ask him to come do this, Moses then ends up going back and being the one to lead the Israelites out on this massive exodus out of Egypt into eventually where they ended up at the land of the promised land. But I think Jochebed must have had many sleepless nights and prayers thinking about, oh my goodness, the son that I've raised is now on the run for murder, and how she must have worried about him. I'm sure that Mary had times where she prayed over Jesus, and the time that I think about when she lost him, they left Jerusalem and he was back teaching in the temple, not worried a bit, but she was panic-stricken for days trying to find him and probably praying over him then, and then getting this shocking reminder, he's divine. He's the son of God, and he's got a plan, and he's got a purpose. I think moms all throughout Scripture, most of them model beautiful things for us, but they also show us where we can make bad decisions. That's where I included Rebecca in this mm-hmm. book as well. So I think we can learn from the good and the not-so-good examples about how better to follow God's plans for our roles that he gives us here on this earth. But I think the prayers of a mama, and mine, I know, has worked overtime at times, and she is the best prayer warrior that I know. I don't think there's anything that's impacted my faith any more than watching her model it.
Shout out to all the moms out there. Shannon writes this in the book. She writes, "We can't avoid the cross on our way to the resurrection. The same is true of the path of discipleship that goes through motherhood. For those of you who are mothers, it isn't a question of whether you will walk through suffering in your motherhood. It's a question of when." I think every mother out there of any duration would agree with that. Shannon, we're going to go to a break here in just a moment. But on the other side, I want to ask you about adoption. You talk about motherhood through adoption in the book and some examples from the Bible on that. I also want to talk to you about living out your faith on under the bright lights, on the grand stage. Talk to us a little bit about how that is. Talking to Shannon Bream, she's the anchor of Fox News Channel's Fox News at Night. She's also the author of a New York Times best-selling new release. It's called The Mothers and Daughters of the Bible Speak. We have a drawing for a free copy. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484, and we will have more with Shannon Bream on Suzy Larson Live right after this. Welcome back to Suzy Larson Live. Fan Bennett coming to you from Washington, D.C., sitting in for Suzy this week. Suzy will be back with us next week, having a great conversation with Shannon Bream. She's the author of the brand new book, The Mothers and Daughters of the Bible Speak. We'll leave the drawing for a free copy. We've got several to give away here. We'll leave it open for a few more minutes. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Shannon, just have a few more minutes with you here. I want to ask you about adoption in the Bible. You talk about it in this book. You bring out a couple of different illustrations of it. And this is a concept very near and dear to my heart, to my wife Brooke's heart. We just kind of by way of background, we have the amazing privilege of caring for newborns who are just been born, and they're in the process of being placed with an adoptive family. So we just constantly get the joy of seeing the courage of a birth mother, first of all, who's carried this child to term and is making the courageous decision to place their child in a healthy, nurturing situation. We have the honor of seeing her meet up with the formation of an adoptive family, and then following on years down the road. It's just astoundingly beautiful. So I love that you focus on that in this book. You talk about Esther's adoption story, and you alluded to that a moment ago, but you even talk about how Jesus's story is one of adoption. Say more about that, if you would.
Yeah, first of all, you guys are doing God's work. Amazing. God bless you. I love to hear that. We did a little bit of fostering when I was young in our home, too. So I know that gosh, you pour love in, and it's hard to let that go, that sweet little baby. But knowing that you're creating this family and answering the needs to so many prayers, God bless you guys for doing that. You think about it. I mean, Jesus, he's God's son. So when he was sent through Mary here by divine intervention, she knows that Jesus is sort of only on loan to her as a son. And think about Joseph. I mean, he knows that he is not that baby's father, but he's going to be his earthly father. And they came together as a family. And I often think about how selfless Joseph really was, in that, you know, he could have publicly walked away from Mary very easily, because I'm sure their story to a lot of people was very unbelievable. But he didn't abandon her in that. And he raised Jesus and their other children and created a family through some really difficult circumstances at times. You know, my family came together. My mom is adopted. My best friend is adopted. Mm. We don't know a lot about the circumstances of my mom's situation, but we know her mother was very, very young teenager. And so she must have been terribly frightened. And I know that people can find themselves with unexpected pregnancies and in really frightening situations. And I'm grateful, obviously, every day that that young, young mom decided to give my mom life. And I've seen it in family after family how beautifully it can work. And it reminds me of the fact that we all, as believers, if we've accepted Christ or adopted into his family, we're heirs, joint heirs with Christ. And just the picture of being grafted in and adopted, I think, is woven in all through the Bible as that bigger picture for where we as Christians end up.
Yeah, I love it that you include the focus. I really thank you for doing that. I think it serves the institution of adoption well to see it highlighted in that way. I also love how you focus on some obscure characters of the Bible. I've got a little bit of an affinity for obscure characters of the Bible. I wrote a book a couple of years ago about Habakkuk. And so when you were writing about, you were writing about Dinah, and you actually, you wrote a little bit about Habakkuk too, and you wrote about Habakkuk 3:2, which is the verse where Habakkuk is proclaiming God's fame, and he's asking God to repeat it in our day and to choose mercy over vengeance. But I guess, you know, given that there's so much craziness in the world, one of my biggest takeaways from your book was looking at these obscure characters and just realizing how privileged we are to be small bit players in the greatest story ever told, and to be at this moment in history with a role to play, just like each of these words. To me, that was relatable. So maybe just say a word about what you see as the privilege of being born into this moment in history.
Yeah, I firmly believe that every single one of us is created in God's image, and he does have a purpose and a plan for our lives. And it may feel like, oh gosh, I'm changing the 10th poopy diaper of the day, or I'm doing this job that nobody cares about, or, you know, whatever, you're caring for somebody else, or you feel like your job is not significant and you'd rather be doing something else. I mean, I think there's purpose in every single thing, and God has a path for each one of us. Nothing is a cookie cutter. And listen, what Jesus did when he was here on the earth was break a lot of conventional rules. And I think that, you know, God calls us sometimes to do things, as we see in these stories, that don't make sense to the world or cause us to question or to be afraid, and have to really rely on his promises, his faithfulness, and to step out into that. So I think that we all have a special role to play, and you're born into a specific moment in history. And I think God has seasons for us in different people's lives, in different workplaces, in different schools, whatever our, you know, calling happens to be. So I think that we can rest in that. And a lot of times I have to stop and slow down and put my things in his hands and say, okay, I'm trying to be a control freak and manage all of this stuff. But the truth is, I can't open any door that's against you. And if you will open a door for me, no one else can close that in my face. And I just have to walk through life knowing that and claiming that.
Amen and amen. And I want to ask you about living out your faith on such a public stage. First, I would just applaud you for choosing to use that stage so openly to embrace biblical stories and to advance truth. And we appreciate that testimony so much. But if you feel comfortable with this, can you just give us sort of a glimpse into both the opportunities, which I think you're doing now, and maybe also the challenges that come with doing that under those bright lights and on that kind of stage and in that kind of public setting? Is it fair to say that there's a bit of a double-edged sword there?
There can be. I mean, I was raised by a mama, like I said, who's a prayer warrior and who made it very clear that, you know, if it's the world versus the Lord, you're always going to follow the Lord's path and you're not going to be the coolest kid. I was never in danger of that. You're going to make all the decisions that go against peer pressure. And she really gave me the tools and the strength to know that was, you got to view things through eternity. And sometimes there are hard decisions that do make you a bit of an outlier or an outcast from the cool kids. But I've always been kind of comfortable in that space. I do feel like a little bit of an outsider in some situations, but I'm really grateful that I'm in a space now that I work for an employer who came to me about doing a book on the Bible that has never asked me to tone down talking about my faith. You know, I have guests come on that want to talk about Bible verses and stories, and that's always been a welcome thing, and I'm grateful for that. I had a boss once in the past, I told this story last week, who said that I was just too, quote, churchy. He was like, the religion thing, you're just too churchy. And I thought, okay, well, I, you know, if that means the Lord keeps me, you know, in this place or from ever going to these other things that I think I want to achieve, I got to trust him in that. And so I think that whatever he takes me through, good or bad, I am committed to fighting to be faithful to him. And I think that if he can use any platform or place that I am, to him be the glory.
I appreciate that so much. I applaud you for that. I've loved having this conversation with you today. Maybe just one more question. I'm wondering if you could speak or even pray a vision over our listeners. What would be the one message that you'd sort of like them to carry away with them as they read this book? Or if they haven't read it yet, what is the message that you want them to seek out in it?
Whatever your circumstances, whether you're on a high or a low, there is nothing that will ever be more calming, more welcoming than God's embrace of mercy, which I thank him for that every day, and his goodness and his faithfulness. And if you're in the worst of storms, I promise you he is aware. We know the New Testament tells us Christ walked this earth and struggled and suffered everything we do, and then some. We don't have a high priest interceding for us that doesn't know that. So God knows you. He sees you. He knows your name, the hairs on your head. And I hope by getting to know these women as I did, which felt like a very personal way, it was sort of a gift. And hopefully you'll find companionship in their stories, encouragement in their stories. And just to see how God worked then, he's still doing that in your life today.
Amen and amen. I could not agree with that more. Shannon, I'm so grateful to you for spending time with us today. Thank you for your public demonstration of Christ. Thank you for repeatedly coming back to this task that sort of landed in your lap of elevating these stories and these principles from God's Word. So thank you for all of that, and thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Dan. I'm just glad to be the messenger, so thanks for having me.
Love it so much. Great stuff. That's Shannon Bream, everybody. She's the author of The Mothers and Daughters of the Bible Speak, Lessons on Faith from 9 Biblical Families. It's a New York Times best-selling book. You can try to get a copy. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. If you don't win a copy, I want you to pick one up. I also want you to get one for your mother for Mother's Day. It would be a great Mother's Day gift. And folks, as we come to the end of our time today, as we close out the final broadcast for this week, I just want to say a huge thank you for spending it with me. I've literally had a blast. I've had so much fun. And I want to leave you with just a thought. I believe this from the depths of my being, that we are on the edge of a moment as a society. We're on the edge of a moment where God's people, you and I, we're going to be the vessels by which his fame and his power rush through our land and what rush through our world. That's my daily prayer. It's a persistent prayer. It's been one that's been on my heart and mind for a while now. And it's because of what I see in each of you, so many of you, what I hear from so many of you, that I truly believe that we are on the edge of that moment. I am in anticipation of it. I'm eagerly awaiting it. I'm walking in anticipation of being swept up in that move. And so I just ask that you would join me in praying for that moment. Susie's going to be back with us next week. It's going to be so good to hear her voice. It's going to be so good to have her amazing presence fill these airways again. And I do hope that you found some encouragement here today and all this week. I'm grateful to Susie for asking me to sit in for her. I'm grateful to Kim and Angela and the whole team here at Faith Radio for letting me join them this week. It was a little bit of extra work for them, guys. They had to get me prepared each day to be on the air. But Susie's going to be back in this chair the next time we are together again. and I am going to get to join you on that side of the microphone. In the meantime, if you want to try to get a copy of Shannon Bream's amazing new book, The Mothers and Daughters of the Bible Speak, again, the text number is 877-933-2484. You text book to that number. Text book to 877-933-2484. If you don't win a copy, I hope you will pick one up. And I will join all of you all again on that side of the microphone the next time we're together here on Suzy Larson Live.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.